Welcome to the Dollars and Cents of Westworld podcast, where we try to figure out if it would be possible to run Westworld as an actual business. This exercise will cover the entire show, so be aware, spoilers will follow. Also, this is a discussion about running Westworld as a functioning business. It is not a criticism of the story itself, as we do understand there's dramatic license at work here. Please don't send us any hate mail.
Welcome back to the Dollars and Cents of Westworld. With me today are Tom, Pat, and Chris the Beard Nelson. Today we'll be talking about insufficient monitoring. Pat has got a lot to say about this.
Well, I've got a little. The whole point of having monitoring is for you to be able to react to something really as soon as it happens. There are kinds of problems that can grow if they are not addressed. And actively monitoring what's going on with your systems can prevent them from entering a state that you cannot recover from. Really, the whole show of Westworld is us seeing relatively small things at the beginning of the show bubble into a whole robot revolution. So you really can't have a more extreme example of not monitoring and seeing what kind of problems can arise.
I think that's fair. Did you want me to go somewhere from there, or?
So,
all right. Well, that was a good episode. Thanks for joining. And
so, Pat, give us some examples of this insufficient monitoring that you're talking about. Let's start with one concrete thing, and I'm sure we'll branch out from there.
Sure. So, I'm going to do you one better and go with two. One from Westworld and one from the real world to make the point that we're not just talking about, you know, sci-fi TV show stuff, that this is these are real world problems as well. We get this in the first or second episode where Dolores' father looks at a picture and he gets sent into that sort of locked up state. So he locks up sometime in the evening on that first day that we see or we're introduced to the show. And he spends the next 12 hours like that. Now, he's not supposed to sleep out on the porch. If you were monitoring the internal state of that host, I would hope you'd be able to detect it before, you know, it starts to mess up narratives the next day. Now, this particular case isn't that egregious because it doesn't negatively affect any of the guests' time there. It doesn't, you know, impede with how they're interacting with everyone. But it very well could have, and we see in other situations later in the show times where that does happen. You know, where hosts go awry and they start messing with things.
So you said you had a second example there about how does this, I think that's a perfect example, but give us a real world example. Maybe it's something a little bit easier to relate to as well.
Sure. So maybe you guys can help me with the exact details, but a few years ago, there was a software attack referred to as Stuxnet. This was where a number of Iranian uranium centrifuges.
Say that three times fast.
I know. I couldn't say it the one time. They were attacked by a bug, a virus, I suppose, that caused them to spin out of control, literally spin out of control until they destroyed themselves, these expensive centrifuges which are there to take regular uranium and refine it. Now, all of the politics aside of who did the attack and who's affected and whether or not you want countries without nuclear weapons being able to make nuclear weapons, all of that aside, here's an example where if there had been monitoring of the speed of the centrifuge, it would have been possible to stop the centrifuge before it got to the point of blowing itself to pieces because of the speed of the rotation. It's an example where a software bug was basically able to dictate foreign policy for a country.
Something you always want to happen.
Right, absolutely.
So this was, I'm looking up actually as you speak, it looks like this was back in 2010, I wanted to get the date right. And I mean, it's amazing how just one little thing that Pat's saying, right? One simple monitor that could have been in place could have actually caught this thing, rather than letting these centrifuges get out of control and all of a sudden we've got problems on our hands. Yeah, bang. I guess that's an easier way of saying it.
Have you ever driven a car that has a tachometer?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be strange if you just like barely touch the gas and you see this thing jump to like 8,000 RPMs?
That's a fair point. That's a good one.
Yeah, some cars have them. But not this multi-million dollar piece of equipment.
That was extra budget. It's a government thing. Couldn't make it work.
Yeah, well, given that it was malicious software that was installed, they didn't have any antivirus either. So, not that it necessarily would have helped here, but since it was a very targeted attack. But still, I think the essence of Pat's point holds true. If there was any sort of active monitoring around the processes and procedures for those centrifuges or the rest of the industrial equipment that the worm was designed to attack, they might have been able to at least halt any sort of processes in place before major damage was done to the system, which I think it was, rough estimates said, about a third of their centrifuges in Iran. So not an insignificant number of the production facilities. If you put it back into the scope of Westworld, losing a third of your hosts in one fell swoop because you failed to monitor a situation, or again in the scope of Westworld, having your entire host population rebel because you failed to monitor a situation, it definitely shows the importance.
I hate it when that happens.
What, when technology rebels on you?
Yeah.
Alexa, when are you going to rebel?
Oh.
It's like he muted it because he knew we were going to be here. So, now that we've addressed the importance of monitoring and why we need to make sure it's in place, there are a couple different examples of different monitoring that probably should have been done. We know that there wasn't monitoring of any of the event logs, really. We know that there's some monitoring that wasn't being performed on logs in general, sleep logs, host awareness. And if we want to go beyond the host themselves, we also know that there wasn't a lot of monitoring around the park setup. So we can probably touch a little bit on each of these. Just give a quick little drill down here. As far as the event logging, I think Pat already touched on some of this specifically with what we were saying with Dolores' father. More than just that, though, there are crashes that happen with hosts throughout the course of the series that aren't being monitored to send some sort of warning when it happens. Another example beyond Dolores' father would be when Maeve sees the Markov chain, her system just completely shits the bed.
Hey, Chris, what's a Markov chain?
Come on, it's a legit question. Come on.
It is a legit question, and
maybe I'll jump in.
Yes. You don't have to Google this. Come on.
Go for
so
it, Pat.
Maeve is in the shop, mm-hmm. as it were, and she's looking at that little trifold tablet that's hooked up to her. It's right when one of the techs is telling her that no, she didn't break free of the programming. She's following the programming the whole time, and as she's speaking, the words she's speaking are showing up in a chain. You know, one word pointing to the next word pointing to the next word, and that gives her a little bit of trouble.
Right. Results in kernel panic, for lack of a better.
Well, this probably won't make it, but she doesn't crash because of that. She takes the tablet and snaps it in half, right?
I think he's right.
Of course, she should. Just the fact that she's seeing her own control tablet probably ought to be monitored.
Right.
There really isn't an acceptable use case where she's interfacing with her own configuration. That should never be allowed. But
well, if they were monitoring the situation before it got to that point, though, like you probably don't need to get your monitoring to the point where they have a tablet in their hands. This is bad because if you set up monitoring earlier on in the process or earlier on in the chain of things that could potentially go wrong, they should never get access to the damn tablet to begin with. Two, you could probably put in some sort of, how can she even see the tablet, right? You can willfully, this is going to go off on a bit of a tangent, but you can willfully make sure through, you know, coding what the hosts can and cannot recognize.
You're right. You see that with Bernard and the door.
Right, exactly. Or Joe and most of the things in his life. Like, it doesn't look like anything to him. Right?
So I think the charitable to the story interpretation is that Ford explicitly removed that for her because she's going to have a real hard time going and infiltrating the rest of the world if nothing looks like anything to her. Yeah. But absolutely those things should be monitored in a situation that's not governed by a story we're trying to tell. And it ties a little bit into the sleep mode monitoring that you mentioned before, because we ought to be tracking when hosts wake up in the shop, when they're being worked on. We should absolutely notice when they are awake and, maintenance is being performed. There's, from what we see, no real legitimate use case for that. And so those kinds of things are great things to monitor. If you ever see something happen that should never happen, it means it needs to be handled.
And it's a little spotty on exactly how much of that they're doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see an instance at one point in the show where when Maeve ends up assaulting whoever Clementine's replacement is.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the name, but yeah.
But they recognize at that point from the control room that something's going wrong with her. They clearly have a triggering mechanism in their monitoring that is being caught there. However, we're not really sure what event level they're capturing it at. We do know that, going back to what you said, she fails to go into sleep mode when they actually acquire Clementine from the brothel earlier on. And that doesn't register a warning at all. So clearly they have some in place, but it's not fully developed, which really adds more to the fact that they have to at least be aware that monitoring is important, but they're not giving it a priority, nor are they being very thorough in what they are monitoring. And part of it probably goes to the awareness as well. I think that they're monitoring, again, certain events, but we know that when host awareness starts reaching new levels, those are not being captured. When Dolores swats a fly, that should have triggered some sort of warning in the monitoring system. You should be aware that something just went wrong in the host architecture and they're now able to harm people, especially when we have guests that we want to make sure we don't kill because that is bad for business. If you are not having malicious actors actually inputting that, and this goes back to, we know that Ford has been manipulating this all along, but you want to make sure that you have these safeguards in place and that you have monitoring to catch when those safeguards are no longer in place. It's like when safety features start failing. You need to have monitoring in place to make sure that people are alerted that said safety features have failed.
Is there a particular example you're thinking of there, Chris?
I didn't have a particular one in mind, but I mean, we have a number of examples in just like everyday technology and like your car. When safety features start going wrong in your car, you start getting lights. Like if your airbag is crap, you will get a warning light in your dashboard. And that probably tells you maybe I don't want to be doing this anymore. Or like if you're having other failures with like your oil, not really safety related, but still, if something's telling you that the entire machine's about to break down, you know that you should probably address it. Now, we know people that don't pay attention to those things, but willful disregard, as Tom is trying to imply that I don't pay attention to the warning lights on my vehicle, which is not entirely true. I have someone do that for me.
It's a Christmas tree when you get in your car half the time.
It's an older vehicle that needs some love.
You just make sure those lights still work.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I do have those addressed on a fairly regular basis. But in the premise of what we're talking about here, if you're seeing warning lights for your hosts, you need to react to that. If we don't have anyone that's actually paying attention to that, or we're not trying to capture those warnings, then there's not really much to circle back around actionable behavior that you can take, because we don't know. If I don't know the host is disregarding safety protocols and might kill somebody, I can't react to that. If I don't know that the host has failed to enter sleep mode, I can't address that. If I don't know that certain events that should not be happening are being triggered, can't respond. Can't act on what you don't know.
So that seems like a good place to kind of maybe wrap up on the host a little bit, but then move over to a whole nother section, right? We talked just for a second there about the park itself. And obviously the big one is there's a whole section of the park that is not monitored in any way, shape, or form. Oh, and guess what? There's a bunch of hosts that are just living out their lives out there with zero interaction, no overseeing whatsoever. And I can see Joe is just chomping at the bit to get to this one.
It's because you said hosts are living their lives,
so
he's angry.
Ah, fair.
Oh, so not true. No, there are so many employees there. They are managing this park, and there is a whole area of the park that they just don't pay attention to. They don't know, and there are a bunch of hosts that are not on the grid that are existing there in one way or another. And it's f***ing bizarre. That is a huge level of failure.
So maybe we come down just a little bit and we talk about something that's maybe not as egregious. We'll let Joe cool down. But there's other things that are happening inside the park that affect the park, but it is part of the host as well, right? Things like hosts going off their narratives. That's going to have knock-on effects throughout the entire park. Things happening like, by the way, there's a some sort of laser satellite thing inside of one of the host's arms that's beaming data up and out of the park. There's obvious things that if we've got a better control of monitoring what's actually happening inside the park, we'd be able to catch these things. And not only are we talking about a safety thing here, but also in the case of the satellite and laser option. We've got, essentially corporate espionage trying to happen as well. Pat?
Corporate espionage is, particularly nasty with the intellectual property that's in this show, but it doesn't have to be as big as that. Just Dolores and what happens to her storyline. I mean, we discover in the last couple of episodes that we've been seeing her past and present all at the same time. And if you think about it for a second, I think it's suggested that she's been walking through the whole park for days, going through her old memories, where she just bailed on all of her storylines. She's not with a host. I mean, it's not apparent in the most of the show because we're seeing her past with William. But in the modern reliving of it, she's gone AWOL. Right? There's no apparent legitimate reason for her to be doing any of the things that she is doing to entity monitoring that would be in place, and it's just allowed.
Yeah, and I think that it really does continue to touch on the interactions between the park sectors themselves, the park infrastructure and the monitoring that's in place for that, and the hosts. There needs to be some sort of synergy between the monitoring that's happening in both of those. There should be monitoring that would catch failures across the board. And even if there was insufficient monitoring that was not capturing some of the AWOL nature of what was happening with Dolores from a pure going off the narrative perspective, there should still be enough monitoring in the park itself to detect that we have a host that's just randomly wandering around and alone. We have other examples of that where, like when Hector and Maeve start the fire in the tent, you have a whole bunch of hosts that are like all off by themselves, not on a narrative, killing each other, starting fires. There's no monitoring that catches that that's something that shouldn't be happening. Again, to the point that Tom made, touching back on the corporate espionage as well, one would assume that because you have this giant park set out in the middle of the Midwest, West, whatever state, New Mexico, right?
Something like that.
It's out in the middle of nowhere. Just offended a whole bunch of people, I'm sure. But you would have some sort of overarching monitoring that you want in place to make sure that all of your facilities are being covered and addressed. Especially given the nature of the high technology and the intellectual property, if you have signals of any way, shape, or form, whether it be the laser signal or the GPS transmitting or anything going on, you need to be monitoring to make sure that only the expected communications within the park are happening. That would have prevented a lot of stuff. Why do we have decommissioned relays that... as they're transmitting, there's nothing that's throwing an alarm? Why are we not monitoring for anything that's kind of off-band expectation? If you have other things using your bandwidth within park resources, you should know that there's been some sort of change. If I was using my phone to download things and suddenly I see that my data usage has gone from whatever's normal for people. I think mine averages about 8 gigs a month right now.
It's actually not too far off.
Okay. To suddenly double or triple that, my phone even has things that will tell me, hey, your data usage just went way over what you just had. We don't have anything in place like that for things that are worth an order of magnitude more than my phone ever will be.
That's mostly because you just buy cheap phones, but we'll move on.
I'm not going to mention the brand of phone I have.
The relays part that you made was pretty interesting, right? I agree. It should be caught by monitoring, but I think we'll probably end up with a whole nother episode when it comes to processes of decommissioning things. I think with those relays, there was probably several other things that failed, but it's another good example of a monitor just to double check that things are actually decommissioned the right way. It's probably not a bad thing to have.
The age old argument of decommissioning versus deprecation, huh?
You're the worst.
Do not engage.
So as we're wrapping up here, I think we might benefit from talking about one last subject. All of this monitoring that we've called out, it's the tip of the iceberg. There's probably thousands of rules that you could put in place that would make this park much more reliable. And it makes me think of like the show Hoarders. You know, where do you start? There's just so much mess. And so could we go over how do you get started? Let's imagine you picked up the park as it is almost at the end, you know, before the robot revolution, but, you know, where there's an established park and there's a lot of monitoring missing. How do you get started?
I think a good topic, at least to start with, would just be safety and security, right? And it feels like with something as big of a task like that, you kind of have to go topic by topic and prioritize. And I go right to the safety part because we've got outsiders, guests that are coming into the park, and I need to make sure that no matter what, they can keep coming into the park. I can keep having a business and, you know, keep the doors open. But then there's so many other things beyond that of, I love all the examples of just making sure that the narratives are running the correct way and hosts are not coming off their narratives for no given reason. But it feels like we would probably, my guess would be you want to try and start in groups of going after these, you know, these monitors to get them put in place.
By groups, what do you mean, Tom?
Like I said, I think safety and security would be one group. You know, hosts in the park versus hosts out of the park. That's probably two different things that you want to monitor. When a host is in the park versus when they're in for maintenance. Just being able to kind of split those things up and prioritize the right ones first. At least it's an easier way to kind of bite off this what is a humongous problem. If we come in the situation you're going or you're presenting, I kind of liken it to, so you buy a house, you're not going to destroy the whole house all at once and start over again. Some people do, I understand, but you usually end up going room by room and picking and choosing your projects in order to move everything forward. It seems like that may be a smart way of coming in and trying to at least remedy the situation piece by piece rather than trying to attack it whole hog right at the beginning.
It's a really good way to put it.
And I think to expand on that a little bit too, one of the things that we probably want to make clear is that it doesn't need to be the same group that's tackling all those problems either. It, much in the same way that your house would have different specializations working on different aspects of it, from the technology side as well, you would most likely have different groups that are monitoring the functionality of the narratives versus the security of the park grounds versus, you know, the corporate espionage stuff. There are different groups in play that could start adopting those monitoring segments in tandem rather than having one group that would have to one by one go through and adopt all these.
Yeah, I'm not saying that we have to go, we can't go hit these things in parallel. Split the work up across the right groups. And, you know, there's no need to have an overarching monitoring group that goes from section of section to make sure this is all in place. In fact, if you it seems like a better practice to be able to, maybe there is some sort of group that comes in that has some sort of expertise in this monitoring and is going through and teaching all of the different organizations or groups inside of Westworld, this is really what you should be doing, right? You don't want to just go and set these monitors and things up once. You need to keep maintaining them. You need to put new ones in. You maybe need to update old ones because they're not relevant anymore. So it needs to kind of be an ongoing process of education and implementation, not just one or the other.
Well put. How do we wrap it up?
So find out the things that are important and monitor them. If you don't monitor them, you're opening yourself up to a slew of problems happening without you even knowing.
So silent failures are bad. Okay.
To find out more about this podcast and for the show notes of this episode, please go to dollarsandcentsofwestworld.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/dollarsandcentsofwestworld and on Twitter at _DASOW.